they don't communicate at all, because this is me. I'm just a go, 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 or I'm just going to analyze, analyze, analyze. Well, that's great, but it's not helping anybody. Just because you're listed as a certain style doesn't mean you're only that style. I mean, one of the tenets of DISC is we're made up of all styles. We can flex into any style at any point when the need comes. Our profile, our style is just who we naturally are in our normal state.
Welcome to Management Development Unlocked, where you will learn how to nurture a world-class management team. And now your host, Eric Girard.
Hey, welcome back to Management Development Unlocked. I am overjoyed that you are here for the last show of the year. So today is Thursday, December 28th, 2023. I realize you're listening to this in April, but this is the last show of the year, and I'm looking forward to taking a little break, going down south and sticking my toes in the sand. Hey, please remember to review the show. This will really help it grow and reach more listeners. Today, I am delighted to have Jason Dreher with me. Jason, welcome to the show. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, thanks, Eric. I'm Jason Dreher. I'm a training and development professional. I work for a small engineering firm, mid-size engineering firm, that's all across the country, helping our leaders be better. And I've been doing this for so long. It's just like, what do I need to say about myself? I love what I do. I love helping people be their better selves.
That is, you're lucky, you know, yeah, to be at this point in your career and be like, you know what? I love this.
Oh yeah. Every time I think I want to get out of it, I'm like, no, I love doing this. Mm-hmm. I love seeing people succeed in what they're doing.
Nice. So you are in the learning and development field.
Yeah.
Firmly. And how long have you been doing it?
Oh, I got sucked into it 18 years ago. Mm-hmm. I did not want to do it. And a great guy kind of talked me into saying, hey, you've been doing training your whole life. Why don't you just come try to do it for real? And I was scared, like, this guy's crazy. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait, I really like this. And the first time I saw somebody succeed and be promoted based off of what I taught them, it was a little selfish, you know, to say, oh, yeah, I did that. But I was like, wow, I helped create that person. And the first time somebody thanked me for what they learned, I was like, wow, I'm really making an impact on people. I'm really making a difference.
Yeah. We are cut from the same cloth. And
yeah,
that is, it's a very satisfying place to be. So I'm really glad to have you on. Thank you for being here.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, no worries. Okay. So our topic today is something that is near and dear to my heart, mm-hmm, and that is DISC and how managers can engage with their team. So right about now, there may be somebody listening who's like, Eric, what's DISC? So for the uninitiated, could you tell us what is DISC and what does it do? So explain the acronym.
DISC is, well, it's four letters: dominance, influence, steadiness, and conscientious. And it is a way of helping people understand their preferences and their natural states of how they work and how they communicate and how they build relationships. The four quadrants are there, but within all, there's three within each four. And you can be a combination of D and I, I and S, S and C, or C and D. That's who you are, and that's where your preference is. And it really helps you just understand as you read through your profile after taking the assessment. It just is, this light bulb goes off and says, wow, that really explains why I've acted the way I've acted and why I respond the way I respond to things. And it can really help you build a better relationship with your coworkers, with your teammates, with your team members, and with your own leaders. Once you really understand, oh, that's why Eric does things the way he does it, I can understand that now. One thing,
we're clear, there's no, mm-hmm, understanding why I do things the way I do things.
Well, yeah, there's probably true for anybody, but it is, I can see, oh, okay, that's why he might be a little bit more competitive than somebody else, is because he's got this style, or well, why he's so quiet in meetings? Well, it's because his style tends to be that way. He's more analytical. He's more thoughtful. He's more of a conscientious person. Or, ooh, that, yeah, very supportive, has a hard time saying no. Oh, he has an S style, that steadiness style. That makes sense. Now I know what I can do to help him and how I can give him what he needs to be successful. I can adjust how I do things to, you know, meet somebody's style.
Yep. And I use DISC in many of my programs. Mm-hmm. I use it standalone, but more often I will use it as part of a management development program.
Yeah.
And so as you're learning how to manage and lead people, how to delegate, how to set goals, how to coach and provide feedback and all that, what I call basic blocking and tackling, I will weave in DISC mm-hmm. and give that self-understanding, that sort of internal knowledge of self and then ability to understand others, to speed read others, so that you can bend and flex and adjust your style to meet the other person where they're at.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a leadership development program and we start with DISC. The first thing they do is that when they come together as a group is we go through their DISC workplace profiles. Then we do their agile EQ and we do their management profiles before we get into any of the deeper management discussions. We make sure they understand how to read people, how to understand, you know, what do I need to do to flex to meet that person? And you said it right there. Oh, this is what I need to do to flex to them. We can't always expect people to flex to us.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one thing I also like to say is the other person does not have to have a magic decoder ring, right? They don't have right. to have, they don't have to have gone through DISC. It's on you as the person who has taken the assessment to do the bending and flexing mm-hmm. to get the most out of your team members and your peers and your boss. So you can flex to all those folks.
Yeah. And it doesn't take much to start reading people and just seeing those natural tendencies. And he said, oh, that's why Jason's so quiet in meetings. That's his style. Okay, now I understand that. So I need to either pull him out or I need to give him more time to process and not push him because he needs that time to process, to come mm-hmm. up with his answer. So I can understand, I can flex. I'm not, if I'm a dominant style, I'm not going to like push somebody who's a C style, you know, who needs that additional time, or I'm not going to force them to be this extrovert and an I style, an influence style, when they're more that conscientious, that very analytical, going to work better by myself. Then, you know, then schedule the party. I'm going to make sure things are working.
Yep. Yeah. I could totally nerd out with you on DISC.
Oh,
you
know, yeah.
For the rest of the episode. But, say,
we did that already when we were talking about this originally. So it's, you know, yep. We know we can do that.
So let's not lose the audience and have okay. them turn this episode off. Let's keep it moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, obviously, I love DISC. You love DISC. I use it in my programs wherever I can. How did you get first exposed to it?
First time I got exposed to it was at a conference, and they were giving away free DISC profiles. And I think this was whatever the publisher was back in like 98, the first time I got exposed to it. And it's like, oh, okay, that sounds great. And I read the profile. Oh, yeah, that does sound like me. And then we started incorporating it at a previous employer and I took it again. And my results were exactly the same like 3 years later. And my manager's results were almost the opposite of mine. And we looked at each other and we're like, okay, well, you're here and I'm here. Is that bad? Your style is, you're very outgoing. I'm very, you know, reserved. Is that bad? And we started looking at comparison and talking and realizing, no, we actually balance each other out. We want to have people with different styles because if we're all one style, we're all going to be in our little silo. And we realized, yeah, we work really well together because we're opposites. We bring each other together. We balance each other out. She was always a very yes person. I'm always like, let's stop and think about that first. I'd ask a bunch of questions to make sure we're doing it the right way, where she's very impulsive and like, all right, let's go. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I have enough room to train that many people in 6 months, unless we sit them on each other's laps or stack them. And it was, a lot of people thought I was like saying no all the time, but it was like, it was a no, but, or no, if, and that came from my style. Whereas, you know, hers was the opposite. So we didn't really balance each other out a lot. That's, yeah, that's how I got into DISC. And then I took it again years later. My style was exactly the same. Mm-hmm. I took it again and I got certified to teach it. And my style was exactly the same. I'm like, how have I taken this thing and from like 98 to 2021 and my style did not change at all. Mm-hmm. So it got me really anxious. Like, why is that? I mean, is nothing happened in my life? And I talked with the certification facilitators and they're like, well, yeah, a lot of people are very similar. They'll stay unless there's something that really happens in their life. You were probably already in a good place with who you are and who you're, what your style was when you first took it, that as you got towards the end, you know, to this point, you may have evolved in certain things, but you're still there. You're still very much inclined to that certain style. Where I have seen some people shift entirely from being a very conscientious person to being a more dominant person because they went from being an individual contributor to being a manager. Mm-hmm. And they almost had to, they were, I'm going to say forced to do it, but their whole perspective on things changed and they needed to be more of a driver. They needed to really push things. They didn't have the time to sit back and really analyze and take things at a slower pace. They now needed to push. So their style would shift.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you were talking about you and your boss being in different quadrants. My wife and I are in different quadrants. She's never taken DISC, but knowing what I know of the tool, which, and the reason why I love the tool so much is because it's so accurate. It's what, 70 to 80% accurate. So it's not 100%, it's not foolproof, but it's enough that if you drew a bell curve, most of your answers and everything would fall in between the two tails of the curve. Anyway, I look at my wife, Erin, and I'm like, yeah, you and I are on opposite ends of a couple of different spectrums. And that's okay, because we balance each other so well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's continue. Sorry.
Okay. I was saying, even now, my manager's on the opposite end of it. And I think we balance each other out in that respect.
Yeah. So understanding yourself, understanding other people, super valuable. So if you've never taken DISC, if you've never been exposed to it, you can contact either myself or Jason, and we'd be happy to walk you through and explain the whole thing. Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about how a manager can use this thing. So specifically, how can a manager use DISC to support team communication and understanding?
Well, I think it goes back to what I said about once you know or have an idea about somebody's DISC style or their profile, you know what they need. You know, okay, if they're a very analytical person, I need to either give them time or I need to give them all kinds of data. If they're a more fast paced person, they only want like the big picture things and they want a high level. Don't bore me with the details or else I'm going to zone out. And once you know that, you can cater your communication to that audience. Really, that's what it comes down to, is knowing your audience, and DISC helps you know that audience and say, oh, okay, Eric is this style. He only wants some bullet points because, you know, he's very high level. Jason wants a lot of detail because I know he's going to ask a lot of questions. So if I give him the detail up front, he'll be able to absorb everything and that'll help our process move because we're not spending time asking questions. And he'll help move people along. You know, Erin might be an I and she's influential. She's kind of, woo, let's go have some fun. But let's, you know, really make things exciting. She's going to get tired if I try to give her a bunch of details. Jason wants the details. So knowing that about your your team helps move things along. You know, and that's really what it comes down to, is it helps you communicate effectively with your team so you can move your work along and get the right people in there. I don't want to put somebody who's very much in that influential area to do a bunch of analysis. They can do it, but are they going to be enjoying it? I can give it to somebody who's very, you know, in that C or the conscientious style. They thrive in that a lot of times. And they're going to do probably their best work when you get them there.
Totally agree. Yeah. All about, you know, putting the square pegs in the square hole.
Right.
Which just makes everybody really happy.
Yeah.
So I am very much a square peg in a square hole where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't always been that way. I remember my last program manager position in Silicon Valley. I was asked to do a bunch of analysis, you know, just me and a cup of coffee and three spreadsheets, you know, laid out trying to organize data for different audiences. And it just sucked the soul right out of me. That was not a good use of my talent.
Whereas, you know, I would thrive in that atmosphere, but I've been told, oh, you have to go, you know, run these social events for, you know, this group. I'm just drained afterwards. I'm like, oh, I don't want to hang out with everybody and just watch them do something that I'm not enjoying doing. But, you know, you just because it's not your style doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means it's going to take a little bit more of your energy to do it. And you may need to re-energize a little bit longer at the end, but you can still do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Aaron is a very introverted S.
Okay.
And after anything social or anything that took a lot of interaction during the day, mm-hmm. I know where I'll find her. She'll be on the couch with a book. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me. Mm-hmm. I need to read for a while. Just get lost in my novel.
Okay.
And that's how she recharges.
Yeah, I am a CS. So mm-hmm. I'm down there at the edge of the disc circles. I'm very much inclined to that style. And when I have to do social events, a lot of peopling, it does wear me out. And like everybody knows, okay, Jason's going to be at home tonight reading a book or just zoning out on something where it's just him and something that does not involve other people.
Yep. And that's good to know. It's good to mm-hmm. understand that about yourself. If you get energized being around people, I'm sure you did not have much fun during COVID. I did not have any fun during COVID because I was locked away.
Right.
But making space to take care of yourself, regardless of what that looks like, is important. And it's a part of understanding your style.
Yeah, I mean, it's important in being a manager is knowing your own style as well, not just your employees. When you know your own, you know what you need. So you know how to tell them, hey, just tell your employees, I only need this kind of information. When you give me your reports, give me this, and that'll help me. And then if I have questions, I'll come back to you. Or, hey, I need a lot of detail when you give me information, because that's who I am. So it goes both ways. It's not just understanding who your employees are, but understanding yourself and how to communicate what your needs are to you or to your team members, but then also to your leaders as well to say, I need this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Good stuff. Yeah. This is why I love DISC so much, but there are pitfalls with DISC, just like with anything else. So what pitfalls have you seen when managers use DISC or maybe use it incorrectly?
The biggest one I see is, well, that's just who I am. And it becomes an excuse for, well, this is just who I am, so I'm not going to change. It's instead of being open to, well, I know this is how I naturally am. And they don't communicate. They don't communicate at all because this is me. I'm just a go, 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 go. Or I'm just going to analyze. Well, that's great, but it's not helping anybody. You know, just because you're listed as a certain style doesn't mean you're only that style. You know, one of the tenets of DISC is we're made up of all styles. We can flex into any style at any point when the need comes. Our profile, our style is just who we naturally are in our normal state. So what I've seen is people not flexing is I'm this style and this is who I am and I expect everybody to be this. And when they're not, they get very frustrated. It's like, well, I can't always be an I because I'm a C. Can't always be a D because I'm an I. That's where I see managers really fail with DISC is they use it as a diagnosis or an excuse for things rather than as a way to start having a dialogue and communicating with their team members or their leaders about what do we need to do to make this effective.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Using it as a crutch or an excuse is absolutely the wrong way to use it. Using it to label people as well is the wrong way to use DISC. So that's always made clear, you know, in all the programs that I facilitate, I always make it clear that this is not about labeling people. It's not about stereotyping. And it's other focused. So understand yourself, understand other people so that you can bend and flex to them, not so that you can label, put people in boxes, make excuses for your own poor performance, things like that.
Right.
Yep. All right. Last question for you, sir. And I think that this is going to dovetail nicely into what we just talked about.
Okay.
What's the importance of a leader flexing their style to their team rather than expecting everyone to flex to theirs?
When a leader flexes to their team style, they're really showing that they're showing the team members that they're important to them and they're there to support them, that they're there for them. And I think that's one thing that a lot of managers don't get is, yeah, you're a manager, but one of your biggest roles is developing your team and using DISC and understanding DISC so that you can flex to know, okay, what does Eric need? What does Eric, not necessarily does Eric want, but what does Eric need? Whether it's how do I best communicate with him so I can get the best out of him? How do I build that relationship with him so that he's open and he's willing to talk with me? And we're willing to have honest conversations. And then the big T word, we build trust. Once we can build the trust, the team is going to be so successful. Without that trust, we're not going to get there. And DISC is a way to start having those conversations because you understand who the people are and what their natural tendencies are. So you can flex yourself to say, okay, yeah, Jason's a C. He needs a bunch of information. I'm not a C, and I don't want that information, but I know he needs that in order to be successful. So I need to give him what he needs rather than expecting him to know things off the bat.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And that dovetails nicely with Patrick Lencioni's work on the five dysfunctions of a team.
Absolutely.
So it's DISC is really handy for building that foundation of trust that you can build up on moving on from there.
Yeah, so, when I was exposed to the five dysfunctions, you know, last year, I think it was, for the first time, I'd heard about it, but then I read it and I'm like, well, wait, DISC starts to make a lot more sense now when I realize it's a tool to the next thing. And I can build through this and I got the trust. Okay, I've knocked that foundation in. Now I can build the other things. And using DISC to make sure that we're flexing styles, we're doing everything we can to give people what they need. So the communication's perfect or better. Nothing's ever perfect.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well said. Excellent. Well, Jason, thank you so much. What a cool conversation.
Thanks,
How
Eric.
Can people find you if they want to talk to you more?
If you want to talk to me more, you can find me on LinkedIn. That's probably the easiest way and the best way to find me.
All right. Well, with that, folks, thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the show and connect with me on LinkedIn. Pick up my now not so new book, Lead Like a Pro, the essential guide for new managers, available on Amazon. We will catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Management Development Unlocked. Want more? Get a ton of insider tips and tools at GerardTrainingSolutions.com.